I mean, 2 Timothy. Dadgummit.
Maybe we should just start on Thessalonians.
We already did that.
No, the second one.
Oh. Verse 2, Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. We're going to look at some of the scriptures. So let's first go to Jeremiah 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, for thus hath the Lord of hosts said, hew you down trees and cast a mount against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is holy oppression in the midst of her. Now, this is, again, remember, Jeremiah's first part of Jeremiah. He's talking to Jerusalem, and it was in the midst of the highest success and wealth and status in the world that they'd been. And so now he's saying, while everybody else thinks everything is right and good and really going along in God's will, he is saying to them, this what we're just reading now. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Remember, everything in the Bible calls good is what is in line with what God wants, and everything in the Bible calls bad or evil is not what God wants. But everything that man wants is this evil. You got that a little bit?
Can't be any other way.
What man wants is the opposite of the will of God. So here we have Jerusalem, the city of God, the city devoted to God, wholly involved in becoming successful, doing the right thing. All right. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape, gather into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of fury. I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out mine hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. Now that's just like somebody coming up and saying this to Dallas before we had the financial crisis. For from the least of them, even down to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. So anyway, they've healed what does it say? They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, where there is no peace. Now the word healed, both in Hebrew and in Greek, doesn't mean that you've been cured from a disease. It means that you have been made perfect in the eyes of God. You've been made complete in the eyes of God. You understand that? But we apply our definition of healed or healing, and we get it all confused. And that's what we talked about last night in big group.
To be made whole.
Complete.
Yeah.
Lacking nothing.
You know, it was easy to understand slightly when you were talking about putting a band-aid on cancer.
Yeah.
So how is healing?
Because they've concerned themselves with the healing of the body rather than the will of God within them. Okay?
So healing is complete versus well or good?
Yeah. All right. Let's go now to Jeremiah 8:11.
Just like everything else you were saying last night, it's all about Christ, it's not about you.
Right.
And if you are in Him and Him in you, you can be anything.
Jeremiah 8:1. At that time saith, and again, this is 610 years B.C. when he's speaking this. At that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven, whom they have loved, whom they have served, and after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor be buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. Now what does that mean? They have taken the bones of the priests and of the prophets and the bones of the inhabitants out of their graves. What does that mean? Anybody have any thoughts?
Like even in the graves, their bones are protected.
Their value systems are the same as their reprobate ancestors. So by definition, they have taken out the bones in God's eyes and are worshiping that value system of their forefathers. Everybody see? That's why everything that we know is wrong. Remember what I've talked about so often lately, the end, Moses, can you imagine counting the Omer in front of God each day, not missing a count. Coming out of the 49 gates of impurity, which he did with God. On the 49th day, then Moses says to God, my God, I know nothing. And therefore, because of that, then the 50th day, the day of Pentecost, came. It's no different for us. My God, I know nothing. That's the result of the proper counting of the Omer from Passover to Pentecost. Everybody see that a little bit?
Yeah, it's interesting that Christ, not a bone of his, was broken.
Right.
So his lineage, his structure was perfect.
What's going on, John? You understand?
You like it?
Not so much.
Verse 3, and death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. Again, remember, from God's perspective, there are only two generations. There's a generation of Adam, and now the singular generation of Christ. Amen?
I missed what you said.
There are only two generations in the Bible. The generation of Adam and the generation of Christ. Okay? Why, in verse 5, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return or to repent. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his house as the horse rushes to the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do you say we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is to them? Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one, from the least even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not ashamed at all, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall in the time of their visitation. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Now this is kind of like pretty heavy, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. Or remember what we studied Friday, the idea that it's you define peace for yourself. And you create a universe or a place in your mind where you can have peace. And you're even taught to do that. You've healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. Amen? All right. Let's go one more. No, we're going to go two more. Ezekiel 22. Therefore, we're studying peace, but now we're studying what it isn't. Verse 23, Ezekiel 22:23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. Like a roaring lion ravening the prey, they have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things, and they have made her many widows in the midst of her. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, saying, Vanity and divining lies unto them, saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and the needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with fire, with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed unto their heads, saith the Lord. Now again, this is the same thing that we've talked about often. Our prophets have daubed with untempered mortar. Remember, instead of digging in the breach in the wall, in the hole, and finding the door, you daub it. So you don't go in, nor do them that you're preaching to go in, because you're teaching to daub the wall, the place where you're broken, with untempered mortar, with psychobabble. Amen? Now go to Numbers 15. Verse 32. This is just before Korah's rebellion. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward or in prison, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, we're only reading that. On Sunday, he was picking up some sticks. Now, what does that have to do with us? Well, that was the bad God back there in the Old Testament. Now we have the good God. No. This is to show us the Sabbath is a day, and we cease from our own labors on the Sabbath. We seek from seeking peace for ourselves. We seek only to see His face. And this isn't here in vain. This is to show us what it means to cease from your own labors and what it doesn't mean.
Yeah, I heard it as in your mind you can justify doing just a little thing. It doesn't mean anything because I'm just picking up a stick or two.
All right.
Put him to death.
Yeah. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 37, now 38, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generation, that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue, and it shall be for you for a fringe, that you may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and them that seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring. Can't find peace by your own methods. This is the riband of blue, which, remember, we talked about it last time. The 613 laws of Moses are symbolized in the sewing on the bottom of the riband. And the blue is signifying Messiah. And that's what the woman that had an issue for years and years of blood, she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. And by doing so, she was acknowledging him as Messiah. And she was healed. Not slightly. She was healed completely. Okay, one last one, Isaiah 30.